just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
That's right, you heard me. Pulled right back in. Right back into the swing of things. I'm here in Ohio. I just started a brand new travel contract. I'm not going to name the hospital or anything because I don't want to talk about the specific hospitals I'm working at. Just going to talk about generalizations and everything, that's all. But, hi, listeners. Welcome to another week's episode of The Mercenary Podcast. This is your host, Nurse Rick, and Nurse Rick is about to enter into full-time employment once again. So, I'm on a contract, and this episode is going to be really just about kind of some of the ins and outs that I face and, you know, talking generally about things that other travel nurses face when doing one of these contracts. So it's not going to be educational about healthcare topics. It's just going to give you a brief insight into the world of travel nursing. To get a contract, you have to go through a travel agency. I'm sure there are some nurses that know how to kind of make their own contracts and, you know, company. There are nurses that have absolutely done it before. Lets you make more money, lets you be way more in control of your own schedule and everything, gives you a lot of freedom as a travel nurse. There are couples that travel around as a travel nursing pair, husband, wife, friends, and they, you know, engage in contracts through the same company. Me, personally, I've traveled with friends before, and it was a good time, but on this contract, I'm riding solo. So, let's talk about what it took to get here. Aside from the nursing school and the degree, it takes having some experience in hospital care. So, I've been in the hospital caring for patients for about 5 years at this point, 6 years. I've been in a couple different specialties. I did behavioral health for a little while. But mostly it's PCU step down unit stuff. So very sick patients, sometimes not very sick patients, but those are the ones that generally have been there and, you know, are doing better and are about to discharge. But aside from the experience, I got on with a staffing agency. I won't name the staffing agency because I don't want to name drop any particular companies or hospitals in my podcast, but I'm on with a travel agency. So let's talk about that. I get to scroll through and look at all these contracts that are available all around the country, from Alaska to California to New York. I get to see absolutely everything, and I get to find one that kind of fits my criteria, my personalized criteria that I've made from experience, one of which being I really don't want to go to a hospital that does not use Epic. Epic is a electronic health record charting system, and honestly, if I've used other ones before, like Cerner, and in my personal opinion, it's like, if I go to Cerner, I've just traded in a Porsche for a 86 Honda Civic. Not a great trade. I like using Epic. That's one of my criteria for going to a contract. It's very efficient, very user-friendly. It carries on past the bedside hospital very well. They have MyChart Bedside, which lets patients view their lab results in real time, view their notes in real time that providers and caretakers are putting in. Well, maybe not exact real time. It depends. We have to mark the stuff for them to be able to see sometimes. But it makes people very involved in their care, which I absolutely love. Because I think as a patient, you should absolutely be involved in your care to the utmost degree that you can be, with decision making, with results coming back. So that way you can talk to your providers and get the best care that's possible for you. So that's pretty much my criteria for the contract. Also, safe staffing ratios. Now, there are absolutely nurses that I'll refer to as emergency travelers. They're nurses that go to hospitals on very short notice. Let's say that an entire nursing staff goes on strike, and they say they're going to be on strike for 2 weeks. This is it's kind of like literally a mercenary, like the old school, like, I'll take a contract to go wipe out this castle for you, except it's instead of wiping out the castle, it's I'm going to go save everyone in the castle. It's pretty cool. There's contracts sometimes that pop up and this hospital will be like, hey, we will give you $6,000 or $7,000 a week for 2 weeks to come out here and take care of patients while our staff nurses are on strike. Those kind of travelers are incredibly ballsy because they're going into what they know is going to be short staff scenarios, make a lot of money, be away from family, and then go home after the end of 2 weeks when strikes are over, union, nursing union, if they have that at their hospital, has come to agreement with management and everything. Those are one type of travel nurses. Other types of travel nurses are going to include the ones that like to go for life experiences. There are these things that travel nurses refer to as destination contracts. So let's say you're a travel nurse and you would just really love to go to San Diego just to experience California, and you live in the Midwest or you live on the East Coast and you're like, I just want to go see how the other side lives. You can find contracts in San Diego and stay there for 3 months. You get travel stipends. So you get coverage that are that is tax-free for food, for lodging, for travel, which is all very cool. And you get a pretty decent pay when you're working at such hospital. So I know of nurses that have gone to, well, I don't personally know them, but I know of travel nurses that have gone to U.S. territories, like the U.S. Virgin Islands, the Costa Ricas. There are travel nurses that I'm sure that have gone abroad, like there are programs for that, for bachelor degree nurses to be able to travel to Africa. I do know a nurse that has done that. She absolutely loved it. Traveled to Africa, took care of patients for a few months, all of her stuff was paid for, and then she got to come home and go back to her home hospital, which is pretty fantastic. So with travel nursing, the first thing that a lot of people think is, oh, wow, you must make a lot of money. Yes, in short, it depends on the contract, because no two contracts are going to be the same. The pays are going to be different. What the hospital's offering is going to be different. It's pretty cool. It can be very lucrative if you know how to financially plan and align all your ducks in a row to budget for these kinds of things. I still am learning better ways of doing that. It's an absolute practice. Just like nursing is a practice, travel nursing is also a practice that you have to be kind of open to learning about. But yes, it absolutely can be very lucrative. I did not pick up one of those very, very lucrative contracts this time around. It's moderate pay. It's respectable. It's enough to let me come in, be in a hotel, which is where I'm at right now recording this episode, which is where I'm going to be recording most of my episodes over the next few weeks. But it lets you come in, stay at a hotel. I'm in a Staybridge Suites right now, which is like a little studio apartment. It's not bad. I have a fridge. I have a little like kind of countertop stove. I've got a sink, I've got a bathroom, a bed, a sectional. I've got my Xbox with me, which is freaking awesome. On days that I'm in between work, I just come back here to my hotel and I can go right over to my TV, turn on Xbox. I can go rock climb, which I'm actually planning on doing after I finish recording this episode. It's a great chance to go out and kind of explore the world instead of just exploring like the one region that your main housing is in. So I can do this for a few months. And then I can go home and go see my family. But luckily, I live in Indiana. It's only 5 hours away. If I have a big stint off of like 3, 4, 5 days, I'm absolutely going to go drive home and go spend time with friends, family, go out to dinner, stuff like that. But in the other times where I'm in between like 1 and 2 days off, I'm absolutely staying here. And so it gives me a chance to go out and explore the world, go find different activities to do. There's hiking here in Ohio. There is plenty of athletic activities, rock climbing. There's jujitsu. There's kickboxing gyms everywhere. Well, maybe not everywhere. You have to go find ones. But I plan on exploring all of that stuff because that's just kind of how I am. It's who I am. I do love adventuring and exploring. But anyway, let's get back into the details of the contract. So I'm going to be working 3/12s a week, which is absolutely standard. I pick days. So I requested my days be blocked out to where I'm on 3 in a row, and then I can have a few days off, or I can have 1 day off and then work another 3, and then I have an extended period of time that I'm off. It's a very good gig, I'm not going to lie. So if anyone's ever been curious about nursing and how nursing works and has wanted to look into school for nursing, if adventure and travel is something you love doing, this is absolutely an avenue that you can take. You can go get your bachelor's degree. Heck, I have my associate's degree. I haven't gone back for my bachelor's yet. I have my associate's RN, and I have experience in the hospital. I got a couple years of experience, and then went straight into traveling. You do miss your family and friends when you're out, but at the same time, it's short term. Like, it's 12 weeks, 13 weeks. You can do anything for 13 weeks and then come back. So, let's talk about other benefits of traveling. If you're on with an agency, and you know you're going to be working full-time, and you know this is something you want to do for a extended period of time, 3-4 years, travel nurse, make money, save it, get ready to buy a house back home, which is my plan. You do have the offer of, even though you're kind of intermittent employment, because when your contract's over, you have to find a new contract and you can have an extended period of time between that. Travel agencies, because you are working full-time, they do offer benefits. They offer health insurance. They offer 401ks. They offer a lot of stuff for you. I have private insurance because I do take more extended breaks between my contracts, and you have to do, depends on the company you're with, but my company, it's like 30 days. You have to have another contract within 30 days, and then your health insurance is full coverage for the year. But you just have to keep kind of consistently finding contracts to go to. And that's fine. I do private because I wanted to start this podcast and start a company, which is what I'm doing. So in my off days, aside from the activity planning I'm going to do for myself, I'm going to continue to go out and promote my podcast so I can find more audience members, teach more people about what I do, teach more people about the healthcare industry. Also, it gives me a very good chance to go out and meet other providers that I can then interview for this podcast and get their 2 cents on the healthcare industry, on how they got there through college, all the details. I want to know absolutely everything I can about what these people know and all these different specialties, because I'm a curious individual. I like adventure and I like knowledge. It's 2 things I'm very passionate about. I'll keep you guys updated as the contract goes forward. I'll hopefully have some exciting guests on for you that can tell you about their career paths, how they got there, how they enjoy it. Hopefully we can talk about some things that we see as a problem in healthcare and some possible solutions that we can talk about that hopefully, you know, make it around to the right people and we can start putting things in place to correct things. Like what I was talking about last week with the nursing shortage, because nurses aren't the only one that's short. Pretty much everywhere in healthcare has got a shortage of individuals. We need to fix all of that. So, sorry about the clicking. I'm currently fidgeting with a phone mount. But I'm going to keep you guys all posted on that. I really don't have much else to update in this episode, except I'm excited. I'm very excited for this. This is going to be a good time. Pretty much it right there. Yeah, that's a good place to kind of cut off this episode. However, it wouldn't really be an episode of the Mercenary Podcast if I didn't leave you guys with some medical fun facts. And here's one off the top of my head. This is episode 10 of the Mercenary Podcast. So I would like to thank everyone who has supported me this far, all of my consistent listeners, all new listeners. Thank you all so much for your support. I do greatly appreciate it. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the benefit of someone, and this is for the benefit of you guys. So thank you for being there. Thank you for being supportive. Thank you for listening. And here are 10 fun facts about the human body in celebration of the 10th Mercenary Podcast episode. So I am stealing these from NectarSleep.com. 30 fun facts about the human body. I'm only going to cover 10 because I don't want to drone on and bore you guys over 30 fun facts. So, number one, you tend to blink your eyes about 20 times a minute, which equals 10 million times a year. Number two, while your height stops growing after one hits puberty, your ears and nose are constantly lengthening, and gravity is to blame for this phenomenon. Also, for the men out there listening to this, we know something else that gravity plays a role in as we age. And women too. They're very body-specific parts. I won't mention them specifically, but you know what I'm talking about. Number three, our cornea, the transparent front part of our eyes, doesn't get any blood supply and receives oxygen directly from the air. Number four, a weird fun fact about the human body is that it consists of so much fat that it can make up to 7 bars of soap. Number five, once the oxygen supply is cut off, a human brain can survive up to 3 to 6 minutes. Number six, humans develop fingertips from the time they were embryos, only 3 months after they are conceived. This means that just after the first trimester, the baby has fully developed fingerprints. When a human blushes, they feel it in the lining of the stomach too, as it also turns red. Number eight, a weird fact about height is that when in space, astronauts can grow almost up to 2 inches because gravity's not pulling down on the skeletal system constantly. They can actually grow. But here's another fun fact that came from, not from this post, but from an article I read a while ago. There was a scientist that was going down, diving. I think it was it was several feet under the water. I don't know if it was just 10 or 100 feet under the water, but he was living in a little kind of submarine kind of shelter. And he would have people bring him food, scuba dive it down. And he lived in there for a certain duration of time. And the effects on his skeletal system with that extra pressure of the water around it, he actually shrunk, I think, 1 or 2 inches, which is just fascinating that that can even happen. Like, the body responds and it adapts to so many different circumstances. It's quite a fascinating machine, our vessels. Number 9, there are tumors known as teratomas, which can grow their own teeth and hair. Ew. Number 10, your heart can sync to the rhythm when you listen to music. That's actually pretty fascinating. That's quite beautiful. Your heart can sync to the rhythm when you listen to music. Also assuming that you're probably going to dance to it if your heart's syncing to it. My dancing is horrible. I never try to do that. But anyway, that's going to do it for our mercenary fun facts for this week. That's going to do it for episode 10 of the Mercenary Podcast. Again, thank you all so much for listening and for supporting. Go check out themercenary.com. That is back up and running. It is fully functional. I just need to go update it and everything. And also, if you would like, check out themercenaryshop.com. And if you're a healthcare provider, cop you some merch. If you're not a healthcare provider, I will be introducing some more lines that are just kind of health specific, not necessarily for a specific discipline with a degree or license. It'll just be kind of for everyone to be able to wear and be proud of being healthy. Check out the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitters, X. Check out YouTube, check out Rumble. Stay tuned, stay following, and I will see you beautiful people in the next, well, I won't see you beautiful people, but I will titillate your ears with fascinating knowledge in the next episode. Thank you all so much for listening, and have a wonderful rest of your week.